You are listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls deal with a blue pill world. I'm your host, John Dennison, and together we'll explore how to take an inner approach to your outer affairs so you can build a better life and a better world to live it in. Hello, my friend. John here again. I want to thank you for joining me today. Should be an interesting episode, because we're going to talk today about a line from the Lord of the Rings. When the troop that was returning the ring passed through the mines of Moria, and as they were getting ready to leave, they were passing over this gorge or ravine, and there was this great monster that was trying to stop them, called the Balrog. And the famous scene is Gandalf standing on the bridge and saying, "Thou shalt not pass." Crunch! And he hits his staff down on the bridge and breaks it. And the Balrog falls down and reaches up and drags Gandalf with him. This concept, "thou shalt not pass," is what we're talking about today. Unless you've been living in a cave somewhere in the mountains and have no access to news or internet, you're aware of what's going on in our world, and it's not a pretty picture. If you followed any of my episodes from last week, we were talking about not taking sides in the political games that are going on in the news that you're seeing. You're hearing, and it's flooding your discussions and say, "What are we gonna do?" Well, understand that the idea of not neutrality, but it's emotional detachment from the proceedings that are going on out there is what I was getting at, is that if you get caught up in advocating for one side or another and you throw your energies into the fray and you're caught up in your polarity, and it's just going to keep taking you farther and farther into it. But nevertheless, even those who want peace, even those who choose not to fight, have to ask themselves, where was my line in the sand? What is the space, or what is the place, that I am unwilling to retreat to in order to preserve my life and the things that I hold dear? Because the political wars that I'm talking about had little to do with preserving the life that you hold dear, so much as it is to impose the wills of the different participants on the other side. And if we look at what's happening right now, those political wars have been extended to some of the I would say constituencies of the Progressive Party, the Democrats, through Black Lives Matter and Antifa. That these are generally, they're members of a political party, they're members of the Democrat Party, and they fall into the category of Bernie Bros, for lack of a better term, being the radical right, the radical left, which is opposing anything that they see to the right of where they are. That includes Progressive Democrats, mainstream Democrats, mainstream Republicans, independents, and of course the right-wing Republicans and those that are even farther right than that. So these individuals are basically striking out against the entire system that they see as being oppressive. And they're espousing and advocating for a Marxist, Leninist approach, which is based upon the class struggle and for the class struggle for power. and they see everything in those terms, and that's why we have so much discussion about from the left these days about wanting to tear down the system, because they see the entire system as being representative of that power, and they have to oppose and get rid of the old system before they can hope to bring in their new one, which is, of course, the communist utopia, or we should say dystopia, as it has manifest throughout history. But people never seem to learn, because people are often ignorant, that they're easily played. They're manipulated for the to serve the needs of a few, and we understand that. And I'm not denigrating it. It's basically a matter of that the information that comes to them is controlled and distorted, and they're in positions where they may not follow or listen to other voices because of distrust or judgments or biases or whatever. So they kind of get stuck in the same echo chamber of thought. And that's certainly something that has to be addressed and accommodated if we're to incorporate all of these individuals and moving forward together with the rest of us. Not that they want to go anywhere with the rest of us. They want to manipulate and control everyone else. That's, like as I said, as to the right of them, which is the vast majority of everybody in the country. But they've done us all a big service, because they've brought to bear some issues that are really important, that we individuals and citizens need to consider for ourselves. And really, it's what do we expect from our government? The part of the government that started all this off was the functioning of the police force, which are basically our local departments that are operated in each municipality, which is in fact why we're seeing some of the municipalities refusing to send their police forces into the fray. There has been a perception by some, and perhaps even by many, that at some times the police seem to get out of control. They resort to violence, excessive violence, too soon or too early or for whatever reason. And what appears to the individual public is a brutality or death as a result of police wrongdoing. Now, we know that police are typically resorting to situations to where they're called for crimes. And most of the people that these situations happen to are resisting arrest or have committed other violent crimes or don't want to be arrested for previous warrants that they have out. So they're not a bunch of choir boys either. But the police have developed a reputation that needs to be addressed. And we as a society need to address this issue, because in some instances our police have been given powers like the no-knock warrants that are really used to abuse us, as well as civil forfeitures and other actions that they're taken by them, which are really done in total contravention to the rights of the individuals that are involved. This is not to be meant to think that they are being arbitrary or capricious in their actions, simply that they are given power and really don't have the tools to do it another way, or at least we don't think they do. And in the situation with the police that we're seeing Black Lives Matter protests against, it is a situation that played out over the years in many Westerns. I seem to remember one of Gregory Peck. I don't know if it was the gunfighter or what it was, but he was a marshal that went out to basically get the bad guys. And it was pretty violent in how he did it, and most of them ended up getting killed. And the town got so tired of it that they basically took him out, or wanted to take him out. You know, in Gregory Peck's version, I think he got to ride out of town, but in other similar versions of the same story, they actually took out the sheriff. This storyline really isn't important, as it is the fact that this issue of police excess has been around for a long time, and we as a society have never really figured out what to do with it. Because on the one hand, we want the police to keep us safe, but we don't want the police to be excessive about it or use their force arbitrarily or worse, in a biased fashion against groups or individuals that they have some sort of a judgment or misapprehension about. And again, that the charge of racism that some in the black community have alleged to the police also needs to be addressed. I personally haven't seen it, but then I'm not black. And we know that many people I've heard over the years talk about the crime of driving while black that makes them more susceptible to being stopped and interrogated by the police. And when those stops happen, you never know what's going to happen. So that's sort of the background story of dealing with the situation there. But what we're seeing here is from this is a continual escalation of not the protest, but the rioting that goes along with it, as if the protests are just being done as cover. Approximately 10% of the protests have given forth to these riots and looting and violence that's been occurring. But it's spreading. And they seem to be getting worse. There seem to be getting more instances of violence against of individuals on both sides being killed or maimed, particularly those who profess to be MAGA or Trump supporters that get caught in the wrong neighborhoods or just be happening out that they're out at dinner and a group walks by, you know, a group of protesters comes in and they harass the people with the Trump gear on. It's believed now that some of these situations are coordinated, funded, and controlled by central sources. I won't get into that. But it's bringing a situation into our awareness that things are deteriorating. Now, I have suggested all of you stay out of the fray if you can, unless you're being called to fight. Unless that's your mission is to get out and fight the good fight. I've suggested that you try to stay out of it, for no other reason than to maintain your peacefulness, because it is the energy of peace and love and light that you put out into the world that's going to allow the world to begin to change. But ultimately, we each must make a decision for ourselves about where our line in the sand is. Where are we going to be unable to stay on the sidelines anymore? What is it that we have to do what is it that might cause us to be dragged off the sidelines and jump into the fray and start fighting too? I mean, this is something you need to know about yourself. Unless you're planning on just sitting the whole thing out, you're going to find that you will be tempted to be dragged in on one side or the other as your beliefs are tweaked and the situations play out in ways that allow you to see that you still have these strong emotions. Nevertheless, Ronald Reagan said back in the 80s when he was talking about communism, that peace-loving people will tend to say, make love, not war, or give peace a chance, which is I say a lot, or to yield and not confront those who want to run roughshod over you and what you want for yourself and your world, in hopes that they will see the light and go away. It hasn't worked that way. At some point, each of us may be forced to take a side. And the question is, what is the side that we'll take? You're an awakening soul. As such, you believe in the light, and love is the means to expand yourself, and in expanding yourself, expand your world. But those that want to force you to do their will are not so not as committed as you are to that laissez-faire attitude toward how other people act. Rather, they want to manipulate and control them and bend them to their will, to use their language, to use their beliefs, to use their perspectives, to use their ideology and adopt it as their own, and to destroy everything that stood for your history and your beliefs if those were contrary to theirs. Well, somewhere along the line, that may not sit with you so well. As a light worker, as one who has been called to awaken, both as to their journey along the spiritual path, as well as to the ills that are happening in our world by those who are on a service to self path, or who have succumbed to darkness and evil, or the pursuits of power and greed and influence, you can see that these, how would you say, not, these individuals are not acting for your best interest. But your awakening hasn't been just for the purposes of your own edification of these situations so you could advance yourself along your spiritual journey, or walk your talk in terms of how you go about your life. You are a light worker at a time when there is a great battle underway between light and dark. I don't know how else to put it to you, but it is really the battle of the ages to determine the course of the future of the planet Earth and the humans that live upon it. As a light worker, you have already made the choice for yourself to do this by the light. And you are probably at some point taking this hands-off attitude, saying, well, I'm just hoping to get out of here, put in my time and leave, and leave them all, leave everybody else to do what they're going to do. And that's kind of what happens when you stay out of the middle of the fray and you walk the middle path and try to shine your light on both sides, but really not contest or engage their ideas or philosophies or positions very greatly because of the emotional upset that you know it's certainly going to bring you and to everybody who's involved in that discussion or process. But as Reagan was saying, even though we love peace, there is a line beyond which our adversaries shall not pass. And we each have to decide for ourselves what that is. We're here to stand for the light. We're here to bring more and more light into this world and to anchor in the fifth dimension. But we cannot do it if we are relegated to the shadows and have no say in the future of our world. Otherwise, all we can do is step forward after they destroy everything and try to pick up the pieces. Now, we may have to do that anyway, but we at least need to give other people a choice. They need to have the opportunity to see that there is another way. They need to understand that it's not a black and white choice the way that it's presented to them, that you have to take this choice if you're on the right side, and you have to take this choice on the left side. Because life is lived in the gray areas in the between. It's where the nuances occur. It's where we get the valuable differences in experience that life so richly affords us. And you are going to have to make your choice for yourself about what you stand for and what you're really all about. I could tell you for myself, I've thought long and hard about this, and to be honest with you, at times it feels somewhat hypocritical for me to be telling you peace and staying out of the fray in one breath, and then in the other, suggesting that you may need to stand for the light. You may need to draw that line in the sand, and when it's crossed, you may need to fight, and you may to stand in order that you can have a chance for the kind of world that you need to live in. I don't know that this is the time to make those decisions. It may be, it may not be. But you're going to know as things happen, because when that voice goes off inside you and says, now is the time to act, you got to be ready to act or not. So you have to know, and you have to be listening, and you have to be monitoring your own inner responses to the outer events and decide where is it that you fit in and what is your contribution to the cause of the fifth dimension. What is the contribution you're bringing to the table? It's been 15, 20 years now. I've been trying to call the awakening servers to action, to try to activate and empower them to do what they came to do, what they have awakened to do. They, maybe even you, are warriors of the light, spiritual warriors that have come to stand for the light, for love, for truth, and goodness and kindness and all the things that are the best attributes you have inside. Even though you may still have the negative ones there, you choose to emphasize and live by the good ones, the ones that bring, that expand rather than act at someone else's expense. And you are going to find yourself having to choose where you come down on the whole thing. I would tell you, or could tell you, that the light is calling you to fight against the darkness in whatever form it appears. But that would be me imposing my interpretations on you and substituting my desires and intentions for your own. I don't do that. You know that. I've always been about empowering your choice by expanding your consciousness, by allowing you to see more and consider more so that you have more tools available to make the choices that you need for your own life. But in this situation, we are in a very, very fluid situation. And I'm going to go back to this situation with the Antifa and Black Lives Matter again. Setting aside what they're doing, because I totally, totally disagree with their methods, the dissatisfaction that they are experiencing and exhibiting with the status quo is palpable. And it's no different than most of us have felt for the last 20, 30 years. It just keeps increasing and growing as the energies get more and more intense. It's as if our world is telling us to wake up and make some changes, and it's going to keep raising the ante until we do. Well, we know that there are things about the system that we live under that don't work so well. We know that there have been attacks on our country that have caused us to act in fear and to give them powers, wide, expansive powers over us that are being used in the country. And these are understandable. People were afraid. But we cannot let our fear determine the course of our future. The fears that we have led to greater and greater, what some people call authoritarianism. I just call it the aggrandizement of power in the federal government and the various departments and agencies by which it functions. Got a nice rain going on outside. I don't know if you can hear it. But we have had some good rains here the last couple of days in South Florida. All right, going back to the what I was talking about, we have obviously things that need to be addressed about our system. So we're sort of caught in a situation where we see the same things that the protesters and rioters do. We want changes to come to those things too. We just don't want the changes that they're offering. We don't want the changes of trying to burn down the house and to rebuild it in this Marxist communist image that they have, because it's not going to serve us. Now, I'm happy to have discussions about other systems, but I don't think any other systems have come forward yet. Yeah, if you know anything about me, you know that one of my prime concerns in the functioning of our world is free will. Free will, according to Ra and the Law of Want, distortion and separation from source. That God vested creation with the will to set its own direction, variances by which it would evolve, to explore itself and find and use those to somehow to work its way back again. Love and light came later. Jefferson, when he wrote the Declaration of Independence, referred to certain inalienable rights, among which were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty, freedom. Now, I know the situation of liberty and freedom have gotten all wrapped up in this left-right paradigm, and I'm not here to take sides in there based upon freedom. I believe that free people can decide to impair their own freedom. The problem I have with it is when they turn around and take actions that are going to impair the freedom of others, to restrict their choices, particularly the choices of those in future generations. I also believe that people can band together to do things together. But unfortunately, the way power is wielded right now, we have a tyranny of the majority. And it doesn't matter what the majority is, which side it is. It's a tyranny that they ram down what they want to, even when the other side does not want it. And this is what happens in our politics, is that one side wants something, and the other side automatically opposes it because they're fighting for power. It almost has nothing to do with the suggestion. It has to do with who's going to benefit from it. And if they can't benefit from implementing it, they don't want to do it. Anyway, these are the fights that are going on in our world. These are the fights that you are having to find your way through and find your role within. Because all of this has something to do with you. You just have to decide what it is. What is it offering for you, for the challenges of your life? What kind of challenges is it bringing you? What is it forcing you to do or to become? What kind of experiences is it bringing you? And is it triggering you to act upon this? Because if that's not behind it and telling you to act, then any action to act without it is an act of ego, where you're playing out some distortion within you that seems to need to prove itself through what you do or how you see or say things. But you must decide. We each must decide what is our line in the sand. What is the point beyond which all these that are fighting, what's the point upon beyond which they shall not pass before you step? You need to understand that. You need to understand yourself. That's why knowing yourself is so crucial, not just for the spiritual path, but for having the life that you want to live. Because otherwise, you just get swept up in the emotions and the events of the moment, and there is very little choice. There's very little direction. It's like there's a raging torrent of a river that's passing through, and you're just caught up in it. You just flow right along with it. You have many forces that are tugging at you to get involved in the conflicts. And to the extent that you can stay out of them, I highly recommend it. But when that inner voice fills you with the realization that you have something to do, some gift to add, some stand to make, how will you do it? What will you do to manifest it, to bring it forward in your life without destroying the world in the process? As a light worker, you have a tremendous amount of power, but with great power comes great responsibility. And the responsibility that you have is to the light and to the God from which that light flows. That comes through you, through your connection to the One. It is this that you must listen to know where you are, to know what is right for you, to know what your line in the sand is. There is no other way to put this that I cannot sit here and tell you, yes, you must go out and fight to save the Union, or you must go out and fight to bring down the Union and bring in this new system. I'm not going to tell you any of that stuff. I respect whichever side you want to come down on. What I ask you to do is that if you do get called into battle, it's how you go about it, that you bring love and light to the process of the conflict, that you do it in a way that tries to remind other people of their best characteristics and not bring out their worst, that you use peace as a tool wherever possible, but that if you must fight, you fight to win with a ferocity and a tenacity that will not permit you to lose. There is no in-between. You either fight to win, if you're called to battle, or you stay out of the fray. If you go into the battle just to try to survive, it's not going to work, because both sides are going to take it out on you. When you get caught in the middle, both sides will hate you. Both sides will direct their venom at you. But just because you're called to fight doesn't mean you're called to fight in this. You may have a different intention for where it all goes or how you do it. All I want you to do is to do it listening to your inner voice and clearing as much as you can the shadows so that you can moderate your ego and allow the light that's flowing through you to do so without greater distortion. It is this light you are trying to integrate between, to allow it to flow through you, integrating your ego and soul. It is man and spirit joined together in search of greater truths and awareness. This is what we're trying to do. And in joining together with greater truths and awareness, it's also in terms of greater contribution to the world in which we're in, where the inner aspects can work directly through us. And if you've been in this space, you know what I'm talking about, where you're out of the way and you're just kind of caught, you're just kind of wrapped up in the flow. But because your distortions are cleared, that flow comes up righteous and true. But when you distort it, when it's filtered through your desires or your fears or your biases, it doesn't come out right. And it can come out and do harm instead of contributing to the advancement of others. So, I can't tell you what to do. I can't tell you which side to come down on. I can't tell you who the good and bad guys on both sides. And frankly, there is good and bad in everyone that you see, including you. But what we want to do is increase the good and allow more good to come out, the loving kindness in our hearts to come out and show that to the world. And if you can fight with love and you can fight with kindness, so much the better. But if you have to fight by physically defending yourself or fighting back and attacking, then do it well. Train yourself to fight without your emotions. Train yourself to be able to come to battle dispassionately. Back when I was early on in my days in the martial arts, about 50 years ago, there was a book that I read that was talking about some of the teachings of the old master, Okinawan masters. And one of the, and I don't know which master it was, but the phrase is, the teaching has stuck with me. And it was, when you loose your sword or pull your sword, hold your temper. And when you loose your temper, hold your sword. You don't fight when you're angry. You fight when you're balanced, when your mind is clear, when you can be in a position of no thought, where basically the body takes over and the mind and soul, the mind and ego take a step aside so that the soul can work directly. If you must fight, this is your goal. I'm trying to find ways to support those who have been called to stand for the light. I know what a difficult time it is. I know what a difficult time it is for light workers to be asked to step forward to a world that they really don't feel doesn't honor them or support them or encourage them. But nevertheless, you have a responsibility to this world. We each have a responsibility to this world, according to Muhammad Ali. And that responsibility is to apply our creative energies to expand the collective consciousness that creates this reality. And that may be to ease the pain. It may be to fight for what we believe in or want. It may be to simply to preserve the status quo, to give people a space so that they can settle down from all the chaos and face changes a little bit farther down the road. I don't know what it's going to be required of you, but I do know that when you engage these energies, and particularly the energies of your outer world, you can't forget who you are and what you are all about. And you are about love, and you are about light, and you are about the oneness that we are all returning toward, that you even see in those that are fighting with you and want to destroy you. Yet somehow you have to oppose that to preserve your right to life and to preserve the kind of world that's going to allow you and others free will to craft the lives that you need in the future. Some do not have that perspective. They only want what they want now, and they're so upset about it, they're so filled with hate and rage that all they can do is blindly strike out at anybody that gets in their way. Try to stay out of it. But if you can't, decide what you're going to do before that moment gets there. Decide where your line in the sand is so you can have a chance to serve the light in a way that advances your journey as well as helps to build the world that you want, chaos and conflict. None of us do. But sometimes those fights are thrust upon us and we can't avoid it. And I do not recommend that you back down unless that is the course that you have chosen for yourself, is to walk the path and not be contentious and not respond when somebody attacks. And that's okay. But if you are called to fight, or if you are called to make a contribution, I want you to think about what it is that you're willing to fight over. What matters most to you? What is it that will cause you to be triggered? Diffuse your triggers. But remember the line in the sand. Just because you don't emotionally respond to it anymore doesn't mean you don't take up the sword when you need to. I'm here to help if you need me. I can't wave a magic wand to make all this go away. We are here in the midst of this chaos. The darkness is upon us. Armageddon is coming. And the storm is here now. You need to survive existence so you have the opportunity to serve the light however it is that you're called. No one should have the right to take that away from you. And if you are put in a position where that may be threatened, I pray that you will make the right choice and that everything will work out okay. I'm here to help when you need it, if you need it. You can reach me at johndennison.com. I offer a free consultation. God bless you indeed. Go with love.
You have been listening to the Red Pill Chronicles, where we help awakening souls move in a better way through a blue pill world. For more information, visit us at peaceoptions.com to explore how you can find your peace through knowing yourself and following your inner voice. Or at missionlaunch.com, where we offer coaching and consulting to help you make the difference in your world.